everybody, welcome to this episode of This Golf Answer Man. I am Bobby Cool, Daddy Slick Breeze. This episode, I have Alex Worm from the Military Disc Golf Tour. Now, I have to give a special shout out to Yelte Visser? Anyway, he's a longtime listener to the Disc Golf Answer Man show, and he connected me and Alex because Yelte knew about my military background. Alex has put together what's called the Military Disc Golf Tour, and his mission is to bring together people that are on military bases all over the country that are having some challenges as far as putting together disc golf events on base. And so he came up with the idea of putting it all together to work together to make this happen for people on military bases. I think this mission is fantastic. So you're going to learn a lot more about it here in the episode. Here we go. How long have you been in the military?
So I just hit my 12-year anniversary for the Air Force.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun trip.
You're in the administrative part of the military, huh?
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, we like to make jokes. You're just mad because we have cool toys, but it happens.
You do. I will admit, being in the Marine Corps, and I was stationed over in Okinawa, Japan, and I remember the first time I went to Kadena for they don't call it the mess hall, right? Or what do they call it? What do you guys call it over there?
We call it the chow hall.
Yeah, and so that was the first thing, and then I remember over on the where I was at Camp Hansen. And, you know, we had to do everything ourselves when it came to, I mean, they would give us the food, but we'd have to put the food away. We'd have to throw it away, put the trays in a certain spot, separate our silverware. No, at Kadena, it's like a restaurant. It's like a restaurant almost. And I was like, oh my God, the Air Force you guys have it good. That is for sure. Deservedly so. I mean, obviously I'm thankful for your service and everything you've done as far as being in the military. So, but what I learned about this tour was amazing, but I want you to explain it in your way. So you tell me exactly. First, let's start off by how did this become an idea?
So this became an idea almost out of, I don't want to say necessity, but we saw a void and we just stepped in to fill it. So a lot of disc golfers are military members too, and we have overseas tours just like the rest of the military. And when we're stationed overseas, it almost seems like our disc golf playing has to take a hold because there's no tournaments, you know, you're stationed in a foreign country, there's language barriers, there's extra federations you have to join to play disc golf tournaments in a foreign country. So what we came up with the idea of is we noticed, hey, there's a lot of like small military clubs that have disc golf courses on the base and stuff like that. What if we brought the tournament experience to these military bases? And that's kind of where the idea came from, was having the opportunity to bring a tournament to a military base so guys can continue to play sanctioned events, play tournaments, and have fun without all the extra hoops of having to jump through, you know, foreign country guidelines of you got to join this federation, you got to have a medical certificate that says you're able to play disc golf and this, that, and the other.
Real quick, I want to tell you guys about my online garage sale I have going on right now. You can go to my Instagram, Uncle Bobby Jr., find my link in bio and go to the CDSB online store where I have some of the old Trilogy discs that I no longer need. There's still some left. I've sold quite a bit, but there's still some left. Also, I have some gear for Disc Golf Answer Man. I have some t-shirts for Cool Daddy Slick Breeze. And I also have some apparel for Class Disc gear. So make sure you go online, check it out, and find some other deals I have out on the store. Appreciate it, guys. So you got this idea, but like how, walk me kind of through the steps of how you got to where you are right now.
So it really started going. I was sitting there spitballing an idea with a couple of the other club presidents I know across the world and stuff like that. And we were like, have you ever held like a big tournament on your course? And like, we've done like little things, but they're never really cool because we can't get players packs. I'm like, oh, dang, I'm having the same issue too. Like, no company wants to sell you 20 custom stamped discs for your tournament. There's, you know, minimum orders we have to meet, this, that, and the other. So I'm like, why don't we just pull it together? Why don't we come together, you know, unite all the clubs, place one big player's pack order and, you know, make something special out of it. And that's how the tour was really born, was we're like, we can unite under the Military Disc Golf Tour banner, be able to distribute a smaller quantity of players packs to these TDs and everything like that. So these tournaments actually feel like a legit tournament that you would experience back stateside or something like that.
Now, once you had the idea and you kind of got together with some other guys to do this, I'm assuming you started reaching out to people as far as manufacturers or disc golf clubs or companies to see if they could help. How did that go?
So that was probably the most nerve-wracking and hardest part in my eyes. To go out and approach their company, like, hey, we understand you have like tournament sponsorships. We have a unique situation, but it was, we're not going to offer you one tournament. We're going to offer you six. And they were like, what are you trying to explain? So I had to sell them on the whole Military Disc Golf Tour idea. And they were like, there's military disc golf courses? And I'm like, yeah, yes, there are.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because like, nobody knows we even exist.
Well, I mean, I'll admit, like when I did some research before this interview, I mean, you guys are having an event in Okinawa, Japan, where I was stationed for 2 years. And so, I mean, this was back in the 90s. I don't know that there, how long has the one on Kadena been in place, the disc golf course there?
I want to say it's less than 10 years old. I'm not 100% sure on the
history of that course. So it definitely wasn't there when I was there for sure.
No.
I mean, I was like, what? I've been on that base. I didn't even think about a disc golf course being there, but that makes total sense. Okay. So you had a lot of people that weren't sure about it, but once you kind of let them know, yes, we have disc golf courses out here, how did they respond to that?
Once there were some yeses, some no's, we got a lot of no's, like, hey, you don't necessarily fit our mold of what we're looking for. You know, that's cool. That's all right with us. We got one company that was like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Like, let's just jump on board. And so we did business with them. We got 75 custom stamped discs for our tour made up. And then just kind of ran from there. I was doing some posting on social media, you know, trying to do my networking, reaching out to my friends that I know are in the disc golf biz and everything like that. And then we got Dark Ace Apparel out of nowhere, hit us up. And they're like, we see your vision. We see what you're doing. We want in. And I was like, what? Okay. And I'm like, all right. So like thinking, okay, I'm going to have to, you know, shell out some more money to get extra items for these players pack, which, you know, if I can make a cool players pack, like, hell yeah. But Dark Ace was like, no, we're going to give you these. And I was like, what? They're like, yep, we're giving you 75 custom towels with our logo, your logo. And we see what you're doing and we want it.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. Now, the big company that you're working with is, of course, Dynamic Discs, with which we can see on your Facebook page like that, which makes total sense because of the naming convention. That was always something that that I tried to get. Well, it was going because we had Veterans for Vets, but it was always something that we knew we had in Dynamic Disc because of the naming convention. So I think that works out perfectly as far as working with the military. So, okay. So now you've got some relationships established, you're gotten things together. Now is okay. So was there a moment of, wow, this actually could work? So now it's like, okay, time to put the work in. So what was your mindset then?
So from that point, there was a group of us. I was going to buffalo stuff everybody's names, but we started reaching out to all the smaller clubs, all these smaller clubs, like presidents, be like, hey, do you guys want to join in on this stuff? There were a lot of the smaller clubs are about 10 to 15 guys, maybe on a good day. And they are extremely nervous. They're like, man, we don't know. Like we don't know if we're going to get a good turnout. And so much of it has been like, hey, it doesn't matter about the turnout. I don't care the fact that you're a first-time TD. Let me educate you. Let me teach you. Let me show you how to do this. It's the Military Disc Golf Tour. Yes, it is a tour of disc golf tournaments, but we are more focused on educating and improving the quality of these tournaments. That's what we're really trying to do here. We're grow the sport, right? PDGA, the disc golf community, we've been preaching grow the sport. This is how we're, you know, putting the rubber to the road by, you know, welcoming on all these small guys. Be like, yeah, this is a cool idea. I want in. I just don't know if I can do it. No, you can do it. Let us show you how.
That's awesome.
So we got a couple of guys. That's how our Kosovo tournament turned out to be. We reached out to the club president. He was like, yeah, I'm a little nervous. Never really did a tournament before. Be like, don't worry about it, man. You're going to be running a tournament for the first time in a relatively controlled environment. You're going to know all these players relatively personally. So if anything goes wrong, it's not going to be the end of the world for you, but you're going to gain so much in experience. You're going to learn so many things. So when you do go back to the States, you can keep running tournaments there and build off the experience that you have starting up, you know, on a small scale.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. I think it's from my point of view is because I was in the military, I understand what it's like being overseas, being away from family, being away from friends. And I remember when I first got to Okinawa, Japan, I remember sitting in my room going, what am I doing? I don't know anybody. My sergeant just yelled at me to get me into my barracks. And, you know, I was told, you know, I knew some of the guys that had been there for months, had never unpacked their luggage because they just didn't have this sense of this is where you're at right now. And so they would never unpack their luggage until eventually after a few months they would, but there's just a sense of isolation that you're there. So, and then I remember being told when you go over to Okinawa, you either become a drunk, you become really athletic, or you become very spiritual. And so it was one of the three. And I'll admit, the first 6 months, I was a drunk. I drank all the time. Every weekend, went to the package store, got my stuff for the weekend, would party on the beach in Okinawa. And finally, I remember one of my sergeants said, what are you doing wasting your time? This is an opportunity of a lifetime. You're overseas in this beautiful country. Buy yourself a cheap car. Quit the partying. And get out and see Okinawa and experience it. And that made me wake up. And I still partied, obviously. I still partied, but just not as much. Yeah. But I ended up buying a car. And on weekends, me and a bunch of friends would drive to different places, go on tours, but just be out and about doing things rather than, you know, working all weekend, just sitting in your room and drinking all weekend. So to have something like disc golf, where it's an activity where I can do and get out and be around other people, to me, that's amazing. I think this is an awesome mission for sure. And I love it. I think it's just so, I mean, I hate to keep going on about it, but I just remember those times. I remember those times of being alone and not having it. You know, obviously I got friends and we did stuff, but to have something that's good for getting out and doing stuff as something as good as disc golf, I think is amazing. And I hope it reaches out to all kinds of military members that don't know what to do with their time overseas. So let's get back to, so you have everything planned, you have everything going, you have people backing you up. So how do you go about creating stops in certain areas?
So the stops are mainly just solely based off of which bases have a course. And a lot of the bases now are installing disc golf courses. So I'm going to touch on a little bit of what you just said and everything like that. The military saw disc golf growth. They just don't really know how to implement it. And that's been something I've been working on, is to bridge the gap between the military and the disc golf world. I can speak both languages. Disc golf has a language, military has a language. Let me be the middle guy and explain it. What you were just talking about with, you know, kids sitting in their barracks rooms and everything like that to help grow the club. We started posting flyers in the barracks.
Nice.
And we had kids just show up. They're like, hey, I saw this thing. It looked interesting. I'm not doing anything on a, you know, Saturday afternoon. And I'm like, hey, I got a trunk full of discs. You want to play? And they're like, yeah, sure. I don't care.
Exactly.
And it's kind of cool because like you see guys start networking through the club. And I'm sure you found this out in your military career. It helps to know somebody that works in every corner of the base.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, yo, supply, I need one of these for this jet real quick. Like, can you hook me up? Like, oh yeah, dude, no problem. Just right there with it.
Yeah.
So, but getting back on track here, the stops are, one of the requirements is you have to have a tour stop on base.
Okay.
This is the military disc golf tour. First and foremost, we believe for the active duty guard, reservists, DOD civilians, and families. there are an immense amount of great organizations working for the veterans and everything like that. As an overseas community, we just saw the void. There wasn't really anything targeted to us. And that's kind of how we kicked our way through the door, was that's what our target market is. That's what we're aiming at, you know, and those are the guys. It's not saying that we're not welcome to anybody. We'll welcome anybody. We don't care. We're disc golfers. We'll play with anyone. But as far as like tour points and everything that goes, we are holding tour points for that, you know, active duty, the active reservists, the guard guys, the DoD civilians and the families and everything like that. That's where the tour points are going to lay. But if you know a veteran that wants in and can get on base, yeah, bring them. Yeah, sure. We don't care.
Yeah. So yeah, let's go into that just a little bit, just for some information. How does one sign up for an event? Or first of all, how does one find an event? Then how does one sign up? And then how do the points work?
So right now we're posting a lot of our events on Facebook. We have Military Disc Golf Tour page on Facebook, and then we have the Military Disc Golf Tour Instagram. We have a series page on Disc Golf Scene. If you just go into Disc Golf Scene, click series, and you look up Military Disc Golf Tour, that has all of our tournaments listed. Just due to the nature of the military and everything like that, deployments come out of nowhere. Work trips come out of nowhere. So it's not that we're not welcoming people from all corners of the globe to show up to these events. It's just, you know, things change in seconds, and yeah, it's the military. Nothing's really official until after it happens. And even then, it's still kind of fuzzy.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Okay, so let's see. Oh, yeah. So how many players are you expecting? I mean, this is just you starting off. So, you know, you're expecting kind of smaller groups as far as tour stops. But kind of tell me about the plans there.
So right now we were thinking we would get maybe 10 guys a tour stop.
Yeah.
Which, you know, 10 players for a disc golf tournament, that sounds like nothing. But for a extremely small community, and especially of a club of maybe 10 to 15 guys, that's a 75% turnout. That's, you know, pretty good in our book, right?
Yeah.
Overall, we were just doing some math with some of the TDs and looking at our early registrations and stuff like that. We had budgeted for 75 players for the entire tour. So we bought 75 players packs. Our Japan tournament is 3 or 4 people away from selling out at 30.
Oh, wow.
So 30 out of 75, you know, that's, you know, roughly 40-ish percent.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're going to have to do a second order here, guys. Like, we're all like, no way. Like, yeah, this idea is kind of booming more than we thought it was. And a lot of that, so much of that goes to the TDs we got signed up for this. They're out there pushing. They've got club members who like playing, but they're like, I don't know if I'm ready for a tournament. Like, I don't know if my skill level's there. Well, it's not about skill level.
Right.
It's about getting together with the guys, having fun, you know, being a little competitive and getting exposure into playing tournaments. So one of the difficulties I found out with my club is so many guys want to play tournaments over here in Germany, Luxembourg, Netherlands, France, Belgium, and everything like that. But they're very, very intimidated because of language barriers and stuff like that. So that was another reason why we saw a necessity for the tour. We're like, well, what if we can give that first time tournament experience to a player on base? Small group, everybody speaks English, way less intimidating than going to a tournament. Everybody's speaking French on your card, and you're like, I don't know what they're saying to me.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. Okay, so what challenges have you run into as far as getting some of these events going?
So a few of the challenges have been, the big one is we got a lot of guys that are like, I don't know if the base is going to let me do this. As in the military, it's the military. We're full of red tape and everything like that. The disc golf courses are owned either by the same people that run the gym, WRM, or Outdoor Rec for the Air Force and everything like that. And they're like, well, we don't know. And I'm like, guys, I've already got your email typed up. You just need to send it to them. And they're like, what? I'm like, I've already thought this through. We're good. We're good. It's like, how do you know this stuff? It's, I have failed more times at this than I want to honestly admit.
Yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry.
And a little bit of it is sometimes some of us believe sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah.
The very first time I held an event at Spingolem Air Base, we didn't know there was like a registration thing you had to do to like sign up, like to host events on base. So we're out there, you know, pitching up our pop-up tents, you know, putting out our B markers and everything like that. And here come two master sergeants. Hey, sir. Hey, son, what you doing? I'm like, hosting a disc golf tournament. And they're like, who said you could do this? And I'm like, dang it. And then I explained what we're doing and everything like that. And thankfully, those guys were very, very chill about the whole situation.
Well,
they're
good.
Oh, this is cool. Like, you're getting community involvement? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, this is great. Next time, just give us a heads up. I'm like, that's it? They're like, yeah, just, you know, send me an email.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, So now I heard on another... you were talking to one of your TDs on a video and you said something about that I thought was interesting, that some places have like, you have to get like a medical clearance or something like that to play. Tell me about that.
Yep. So this is something I've learned through playing throughout Europe and everything like that. Everybody back stateside, they see these pros coming over to Europe, playing these big A tier events. Well, that's cool. If you're Paul Macbeth and you know, they're rolling out the red carpet, welcoming you in hand and foot. Now, if you're some 850, 900 rated player, you know, they're kind of looking at you like, who you are here, who are you?
Yeah.
Here's all the paperwork we got to do. So what it is, because things are so different, a lot of the governments are actually regulating all of the sports.
Wow.
So to play with France, you have to join the French Flying Disc Federation, go through their process for coach, which requires a medical certificate. So basically you have to go do a physical before you can play any disc golf tournament in France.
Whoa.
Have a special license. Yep. And all this costs money, which threw me for a loop from playing tournaments in the States, because it's like, hey, once you got your PDGA number, you're good to go.
Yeah.
No, there's more to it than just having a PDGA number over here in Europe with a lot of these countries. That's just France. Germany, you have to be a part of it's the DFV. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because my Deutsch is horrible. And you have to get a special German tour number, and that comes with a rating. The one issue I found about playing tournaments in German, so my German friends are going to hate me for saying this.
Uh-oh.
You've got to have a German rating. And they always do tiered registrations for all of their tournaments. Their tournaments sell out within 10 to 15 minutes.
Wow.
So if you can never get into a German tournament, you can never get a German rating. So it just creates this crazy cycle and everything like that. Belgium is just a walk in. They do all of their stuff through disc golf scene. So that's very much like America. The Belgians have a really great system. They got some good TDs over there. The French do too. I've got a lot of friends over in France. Once you get into their system, and a lot of the times it's, if you email them and communicate with them beforehand, they'll give you all the paperwork. You just still got to do it, which is, you know, that even that paperwork, because gets intimidating and everything like that. The Netherlands is about half and half. They have a national tour that you have to be part of a Dutch club, which is regulated through their national governing body to be able to play the national tour events. But the Dutch are growing to a point where they're not getting stuff sanctioned through their national body, and they're just kind of hosting straight PDGA events, which is huge. And then Scotland is another kind of walk-in one too. It's just the process of getting up to Scotland is sometimes kind of interesting.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a lot of hoops have to be jumped through that I never would have thought all those different things for different countries, but that's amazing that you guys are figuring all that out and getting it figured out. And it does sound like that's another thing I like is that, like you said, because there's not a huge group at each base, they may not be able to organize it, or they may, like you said, be intimidated to try to look into it because of all the things they have to mm-hmm. learn. And you're like, whoa, we've been through it. Just tell us you're willing to do it. We'll help you walk through the steps, which I think is great, which I think is going to open up a lot more doors for a lot more events on base, which I think is great for the military personnel that are on there. So how do people find out more about helping you out, helping support this, or even how to find out more about, you know, upcoming tours or any dates that get created?
So the best way to reach out to us is through our Facebook, our Instagram, our email. We have a YouTube channel now too, that we're starting to do more updates and everything like that. That's the best way to contact the whole tour or get a hold of the tour staff and everything like that. We're not going to say no to anybody that believes in our vision. If there is a company out there that says, hey, we love what you're doing, we want to support you, the more the merrier. We value those that see what we're trying to do, and we are extremely grateful for the people that, you know, have taken a chance on us, because right now we're nobodies. We're this big in the disc golf world. And it's like when Dark Ace said, hey, we see what you're doing, we want in, it blew our socks off. We're like, we're getting legitimate.
I think that's awesome. Well, I totally agree with the mission as well. For obvious reasons, because I was in the shoes of a lot of those military personnel where you're just, again, like I said, you're sitting there wondering, you know, you're missing your friends, your family, and you're just looking for something to do when mm-hmm. you're not working. And so I could see disc golf as something being that someone discovers, gets into it, either becomes something casual they just do to kind of do something on the weekend, or just get more involved. And then when they come back stateside, they discover the whole new big world that's happening in disc golf. And so they continue going on that disc golf journey. So I think that's amazing. I think it's great. Hats off to you guys for what you're doing. And thank you for doing that as well. So, well, is there anything that I left out that you want to make sure people understand about the tour?
Not really. The only thing I want to say is, you know, hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, drop a like or something like that. We're going to start getting more and more active. We got plans of our clubs going out in their courses, like showcasing everything. We're really trying to bring the light on, like, hey, just because you're in the military and stationed overseas doesn't mean disc golf stops. Right. No, we're still going. So we're trying to emphasize that quite a bit.
That's awesome. Love it. All right. Well, thanks again, Alex, for being on the show. I appreciate it. And let's definitely stay in touch so I know what's going on as far as the tour, and maybe even we can do kind of a follow-up for next year, at the end of the year, to see what plans you have for 2024.
For sure. I would love that.
Make sure you go out to Military Disc Golf Tour on Facebook and on Instagram. Give them guys a follow. I'll put that in the description of this podcast episode so you can follow them and support their mission. I think it's fantastic what they're doing. I'm going to try to figure out ways I can help Clash Discs help them out as well, because I truly believe that we need to make sure that our military personnel are taken care of, because they're putting their life on the line, putting aside things so that they can serve their military and serve the country. So I really believe in this guy's mission. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. I appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next episode.